Okay, so if you're listening to this thinking, ugh, I don't even know where to start, well, good, because that's exactly who the Weight Loss Podcast Classroom is for. So Courtney and I are kicking off the first classroom of 2026, starting on Monday, March the 2nd. So the Weight Loss Podcast Classroom is our structured 12-week affordable beginner-friendly education and support program that shows you exactly how to get on track, but more importantly, how to stay on track without counting calories, without another effing diet, and without exercising for 300 plus hours a week. Inside the classroom, we teach you how your metabolism actually works, how to train for about 3% of your week, what to eat without the confusion, how to lose weight without calorie counting, how to build habits that don't collapse the second life gets busy, and a whole lot more. Our promise to you is that you're going to learn with us in 12 weeks more than you have the previous bunch of years combined. You'll also get instant access the moment you join, including 279 fast, delicious, and nutritious recipes, structured workouts and training programs inside the app, as well as a private group where you are supported by both Courtney and myself, as well as other students who will be doing this alongside you. Now, the classroom has been designed to be all killer, no filler. There is no fluffy shit that isn't useful. There's also no excuses. If you're done winging it, click the link in the episode description and I'll see you inside.
Welcome to the Weight Loss Podcast, where we offer solutions to the obstacles you face when it comes to achieving your health and fitness goals. As a married couple who has lost a combined weight of 100 kilograms and 11 clothes sizes, our raw, real, and relatable stories will show you the path you must walk to achieve, and more importantly, maintain the results you know you can reach, because we know it works. So get ready to share the success and show the results with your hosts, Matt and Courtney.
Welcome back to the Weight Loss Podcast. I am Courtney, as always.
I am Matt, last time I checked.
Yes. And welcome back to season 12. Today's episode is all about all or nothing. So this is a mentality, right? So we're going to be discussing the mentality of all or nothing, what it is, how it works.
Or why, doesn't work.
Why not to do it.
But also what to do about it.
Yes.
So we'll just share how we've approached it, how we do approach it, how we deal with it.
Yeah.
And hopefully that can be of some value.
Yes.
So let's just jump straight in, shall we?
Shall we?
What? One of those days, eh?
Jump straight in.
All right. Courtney, what is the all or nothing approach?
Well, as I mentioned, I would describe it best as a mentality.
And what is that mentality?
So the mentality is that you basically jump all in on something, and if it doesn't go according to plan, if it doesn't go perfectly, then that's it. It doesn't work and it's over.
Really? I'm so glad you mentioned that. I look at it differently.
What do you see?
What a hot start. The first thing that
until we discuss this before we start recording.
Well, it makes for better discussions when we have a plan and a layout, but we just flesh it out.
Yeah.
So what you said, I completely agree with. Mm. The first thing that comes to mind for me is actually the mentality of, well, I can't do it all, so I won't do anything.
Oh, okay. So like before you even start.
Yeah. So I'll give you a good example, one that I see a lot with people. Is you might have someone who has some sort of health condition, injury, some sort of limiting factor that might, and this is a real low-hanging fruit here, that will prevent them from doing many forms of exercise.
Yep.
Or in some cases, they might be on temporary standing orders to do nothing but walking.
Yeah.
They want to work on their health, their body, their shape, their fat, weight loss, etc. But, well, you know what? Because I haven't got clearance to do all the exercise, I'm just going to wait and don't do anything until I've got that clearance.
Okay.
So I won't worry about my eating habits. I won't worry about the rule of proximity and you know, getting into my meal prep, I'll just do nothing until I can do all of it. Does that make sense?
It does.
That's what comes to mind to me when I think of all or nothing.
Yeah.
Is, well, I can't do it all, so I'll just keep the can down the road.
Okay.
Until I can, which is like, well, that to me, it's like it implies that, well, if you can't do anything, you may as well do nothing, which defeats the fucking purpose.
Yeah, it does.
So we have two different approaches here, but I completely agree with what you say.
I think they're both right. I think the difference of approaches is that yours basically comes from before someone even starts.
Yep.
And mine comes from when someone's already started.
So then, have we then just illustrated how this thing can come up along the way?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
So I think if we go then back to what is it, I think the broad aspect is then that it is a mentality where you want to be successful at a certain thing.
Yeah.
And you're basically not willing to deviate from a plan, whether that be before you start or once you've started.
Mm.
And if a deviation from that plan happens, it's all over.
I think we can then potentially agree that it is a self-limiting belief.
Yes.
And a self-limiting mentality that can pop up in different forms along the way.
Yes. Yes. I do agree with that.
So would I say high five, we're both right?
Yes, I would say high five, we're both right. So why is this an issue?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's both answer this question from the
different perspectives.
Precisely. What do you think?
Yeah.
Shall I?
Yep.
Well, it's an issue for me with the example I gave because it's giving yourself an excuse to do nothing. And it is, I use the phrase, kicking the can down the road for later on.
Yes.
So even though and I'll use that example I mentioned before about someone who can't exercise right now for whatever reason, you fall into the trap of thinking to yourself then, well, I can't do this one thing, so the whole thing is just not going to work.
Mm.
So it prevents people from improvement in some area because it goes against the phrase that we like to say of control the controllables.
Yeah.
So you might be someone where you think to yourself, I have to do A, B, C, D, and E to get this done, but I'm currently limited on A, B, and C, so I won't bother doing D and E.
Mm.
But my perspective would be where I am now, well, those things, D and E, that you can still do that are in your control, why not start there? Because especially when you're a beginner with this, the important thing to me is more important just to make a start more than probably more so than what you're actually doing. Just get started somewhere and then chip away at it. So I see it as an issue because it can be used as an excuse to prevent you from starting.
Yeah.
And literally all you're doing is delaying everything. And especially when you've got a chance to work on things now, because what's the best time to start something?
As soon as you're ready to start.
Today. Actually, no, the best time to start something was yesterday.
Yesterday.
Failing that, the next best time to start something is today. So if you've got the desire to change and improve and there's things that you want to do, despite the fact that there are probably going to be or there might be limitations, you would like to think, well, let's just start somewhere, make some improvements and build upon this over time. Where the example I gave as an issue is that you prevent yourself from even starting. So there's no improvement at anything. There's no wins. There's no nothing.
Yeah.
You're just delaying what has to happen until later on down the track. And I see that as an issue because you're just waiting.
Yes.
Why is it an issue in your mind?
I think for my particular example, the issue comes in where roadblocks or whatever you want to call it, mistakes, life.
Obstacles.
Obstacles, probably the best word for it.
Okay.
Obstacles are going to come up regardless of how good life seems at the start, right? Mm-hmm. Like things are going to come up. You just don't know what is going to happen. So it's an issue because those obstacles are inevitable. And if you have an obstacle come up, and you decide that that's it.
Mm.
Like if you're already in this all or nothing mindset, the very first obstacle that comes up, you're going to falter.
Mm.
like you, it's going to derail you. And it's going to derail you to the point where you, like in this example, it's derailing you to the point where you stop.
Doesn't sound like a good way to build resilience and to learn how to deal with issues.
No.
As they come up.
Especially because they're inevitable. Like they're literally inevitable. So they're going to come up regardless of what you do. And if you basically are going to stop every time something comes up, you're never going to get momentum and actually get into the swing of anything.
You also then, that's a good point, because you're also then, you're not going to prove to yourself that you can handle hard things.
Yeah. And I mean, you may as well, at that point to me, you may as well stop trying to start, because it's not, what's the point? Like you're putting yourself through this over and over and over again, this stop start, when it's pointless. It's like on a Monopoly board, every time something happens and you go back to the start.
Well,
what's the point?
I agree with that. I'm not sure I agree with, well, you shouldn't bother starting. The issue is, are you learning from what's happening?
No, the issue is don't have that mentality, because obstacles are going to come up, and learn from them and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And do what we've discussed in other episodes, like celebrating small wins, like dealing with adversity, like setting better expectations. Like these are all things that you should be doing. Mm. But if you're just going to constantly stop and start, don't start until you're ready to really start, because that's not going to be helpful to anyone. Like it's not helpful to you. It's not helpful to people around you. It's just pointless.
How can this backfire?
I think in my particular example, it's going to backfire because you're going to go on this, like I just mentioned, you're going to go on this roundabout if you're going to continue to stop and start. Because if you're going to stop and try to go back to the start every time something happens, because it's all or nothing, right? So it's either you've got this mentality where you're all in or it's useless.
Mm-hmm.
You're all in and it's going to happen this particular way, or the system's faulty, or the program's faulty, or something's faulty about it, and you're going to go back to the start and start again.
Mm.
And you're going to get stuck in that carousel of just going around and around and around.
Carousel or hamster wheel?
Whatever.
Mm.
And the problem is, often I think those people with those mentalities, they often jump programs too, because then it becomes the program's fault, or then it becomes the gym's fault, or then it becomes
life's fault.
Something's fault. And rather than addressing the problems or addressing the obstacles and finding workarounds, and yeah, you might take a couple of steps back, but then finding ways to move forward again. We don't go all the way back to the start. So in that particular scenario, the backfire is going to come in, because it's just going to erode any sense of good feeling that you have about starting a new program, about changing your life, that it's gonna kill your momentum, it's gonna kill your confidence that you have the ability to change.
Yeah.
And that you have it in you to do something different with your life. It's gonna kill all of that. It's probably gonna kill any sort of little sense of motivation that you have. It's gonna kill your support system, because the people around you are gonna stop having confidence in you, because you're gonna stop and start all the time.
Can that be where it comes up, where you might have someone in your circle that's like, oh, here we go again?
That I think that all or nothing approach comes in, because it kills their confidence too, right? It kills their confidence in supporting you, because every time something big comes up where you're supposed to be leaning on your support system,
you bail out.
You're just giving up.
You know what else it does? That's a great example, because it also shows you how far you're going to go every time until you stop.
Oh, sorry.
Whoa.
That probably sounds loud.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because a big part of long-term success with this is being willing to break new ground and go further beyond your previous bests. So it might be an example I would give, if I were to ask someone, and this is a question I'm pretty fond of, what's the longest you've ever stuck with a weight loss attempt? I ask people that question a lot. And you can get obviously varying answers, ranging from as short as, oh, I'm usually with things for 2 weeks to a month, mm-hmm. upwards to, well, I stuck with this one thing for 6 months or maybe sometimes even longer. That there tells me, that answer to that question tells me the real challenge they're going to face is when they get to that time frame.
Yeah.
Because that's when they've stopped before. And this approach you talk about plays right into that. Because if you're someone that tends to have that all or nothing mentality, and then once life throws you a curveball, which PS it's going to.
Yeah.
Inevitably. And you fold up like a cheap deck chair and go away, that tells me that the next attempt you do, the challenge for you isn't what you do at the start, it's what you do when it gets a little hot in the kitchen. But you never, the approach that you speak about, Courtney, is one where you never show yourself and you never prove to yourself that you can actually get past it until you do.
Yes.
That's a great point. I can see how that can backfire because you're just constantly retreading old ground.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is where you'll speak to people and ask them about their prior experiences on prior attempts or prior programs or whatever it might be. And it so often tends to be the same shit, just in it with a different logo, yeah. a different trainer, some different expert that's helping them or some different app that they've signed up for, and they get to the same spot and stop every fucking time. And get derailed every time. And often, you bring up a good point, by the way. Sorry, before I don't mean to cut you off. But it can be easy to shift the blame where, like, oh, you know, life got busy.
Yeah.
I got stressed. Kids this, husband that, wife this. Like, no, you don't have a problem with those things. It's a you problem.
Yes. It is. And I don't think in my particular scenario, yeah. I don't think that it's necessarily a case of, yeah, you might go through a program and not always find success. You're not going to think that this, I wonder sometimes whether this mentality also comes down to our obsession with quick outcomes.
Okay. Tell me more.
Because we're always, you know, as a society, especially these days, we always want a quick outcome. Our expectations on results have gone up mm-hmm. in terms of timing, right? Mm-hmm. So we expect things quicker.
Yeah.
Technology, you know, everything, we get an expectation, we get our news faster, we get our communication with people faster.
You also get your questions answered faster. You whip your phone out.
Questions answered faster.
Yep.
We can write. Tech has allowed us now, especially with the AI as well, it's allowed us to get everything so much faster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can write letters and essays and emails so much faster. You know, it's instantaneous some of the time. Whereas I think that that just goes along often with our expectations and our mindset of where we expect things to go into a certain direction. So I think that the all or nothing approach is really tied into expectations. And yeah. I know we've spoken about expectations a lot in the past.
And we'll continue to.
And we will continue because it ties into so many things, right?
Well, expectations can literally be the thing that sets someone up to fail or succeed. Yeah.
And I think that expectations tie in a lot with this scenario that I have.
Okay.
Where people have an all or nothing approach once they start.
Mm-hmm.
And for yours, which they have an all or nothing approach before they get started.
Yep.
Because both scenarios, your expectations are also off. And we have this expectation that we're supposed to either the process is supposed to be smooth or we have this expectation that we're supposed to get results really fast.
Would you say then that an all or nothing mentality starts from misaligned expectations?
Yes.
Okay.
I think expectations is huge with all or nothing mentality.
Okay.
I think that it's not the only one, but I think that it's a big one.
Like a core.
I think it's one of the biggest ones. The only other one that I'm thinking off the top of my head right now would be like fear of failure would be the other one that I'm thinking is like quite up there with this. Because especially with your scenario, right, which is I'm not going to start until I have everything lined up.
Yes.
And it's usually because they are afraid that if they start before they feel comfortable with everything lined up in a row, they're going to fail. And it's going to be embarrassing or it's going to be, this is going to.
Which, by the way, also does align with what you say about expectations.
Yeah.
Because if you expect this to only work when things are smooth, you're in for a rude shock.
Yeah. And if your time frame expectations are off,
then for sure,
you're going to constantly also find yourself in this hamster wheel. So, like, if you get started, something goes wrong, and you've got this all or nothing approach where then it's fucked, basically. Sorry, but the whole thing's done, right?
Throw it all in the bin.
Throw it all in the bin and start again, right?
Yeah.
If you have that mentality, then your expectations were off because either, as I say, you were expecting this to be smooth sailing, or you're throwing it out because it's taking longer than you wanted and you're getting frustrated.
I'll tell you something. I would say if this is your first time around and you run into those issues because your expectations are off, I probably can't blame you.
Yes.
Because you have to go for your lap around the track to figure it out. If this is your fourth, fifth, seventh, 12th, 13th attempt, it's a you problem.
Definitely. It's a you problem because your mentality is off.
And you haven't learned from past experiences to allow you to improve for the next time out. Because I think
not only learned, I feel like you just haven't developed. Like you have to develop yourself and your mentality. Like you have to continue to work on your mentality. Yes. This is not just a eat the right food and exercise thing. Like
that is so insultingly oversimplified.
Constantly work on your mental health through this as well, and how you perceive the world, how you perceive yourself, your body, your support network, everything, and that's going to evolve as well over time.
Yeah, how you adapt as you move into different chapters of your life.
Yep. How you adapt to resilience. How you how you adapt to your expectations. How you celebrate those wins we talk about. How you keep yourself quote unquote motivated during this time. How you deal with all of that is you working and growing within yourself and your mental health and your mental outlook on the world, on your life, on your journey through this, like all of it. Mm. And you've constantly got to adapt through that. And if you're constantly got this all or nothing approach that's affecting you in your journey, you are not adapting and you are not prioritizing your emotional and mental health through this process.
Well, that's how I would answer the question of how this can backfire, whether it's your scenario or mine. It kind of backfires the same way. It stunts your development.
Yeah.
It stunts your growth and it just keeps you, it keeps the ceiling of how far you can go at the same spot every time out.
And the ironic thing is it's going to take longer. Like the ironic thing is your expectations are so askew and you're so not in tune with this situation, the fact that what you are doing is double, tripling the time that it's going to take you to get what you want.
Is this a great opportunity just to mention that the time so many of us spend looking for shortcuts and quick fixes and easy solutions that take years and years and years, it wouldn't have taken you as long if you'd knuckled down and worked on the real stuff.
Yeah.
Like I had conversations with people that when you ask them, like, how long have you been struggling with this? And the answer is like 10 years, 20 years, 30 plus years. And then it's like, well, what have you been doing in that time? Oh, you know, fasting, keto, Weight Watchers 7, 8, 9 times. Ozempic now is the new one, the new hotness. And it's like, well, at what stage do you just come up with the idea and admit to the fact that, like, this shit hasn't worked. That's why you've been doing this for 10, 20, 30 years.
Mm.
Now, when you have an approach, and I don't want to fall into the trap of this sounding like a sales pitch because it's not, but when you have an approach like ours and we get to work on the shit that actually counts, the below the surface stuff, habits, mentalities, routines, things like that, literally in 2 years, you'll be a new person.
Mm.
A completely new person, like unrecognizable to yourself. Get so many people get just caught up looking for the quick fix and it takes them fucking years and decades of going through that. And this could have been sorted out a whole lot sooner. Sorry, a tangent, but you made that come into my mind, but definitely in terms of backfiring, it just stunts your development. you're stuck in the same fucking spot year after year, attempt after attempt, until you break through that plateau, because it's a mental plateau. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
It's a mental plateau because you get to a certain stage, whether that stage is before you start or, as you pointed out, Courtney, when you're on the way and you always get to a certain point and you fold. Sooner or later, you've got to be prepared to break through that.
I agree. And I definitely like what you said about when early days, I would definitely forgive people for doing this. I've done it. Like, I feel like you always have to have grace with people.
Can you share some examples?
Yeah, I mean, I've always had times in my youth, like through my teen years, where I tried different things. Mm-hmm. So I tried to join the gym, stopped going, you know. I tried to...
Why'd you stop?
I think at the time when I was a teenager, it was just one of those ones where I didn't have a clear idea of what I was doing there,
mm-hmm.
didn't have a set routine, and then it was just really easy to stop going. It was really, really easy to just like have that honeymoon period at the start where you were just like in it and yes, I'm going to do this and I'm motivated and I'm, you know, and then it's really, really quickly and easily able to get dejected, and especially when you don't have a clear plan. Okay. You know, it's really easy to get dejected when you've got no plan mm-hmm. on what you're actually doing and what you hope to achieve from it other than I just want to look better.
How mentally, as a bit of a side to that, how mentally fatiguing is it to try and approach this without a plan?
Oh, it's mentally fatiguing is a good word for it, but it's just impossible would be the other word that I would use. It's just impossible because at some point your lack of plan will come back to bite you in the ass. Like it doesn't really matter. I think it's impossible to do this without a plan. Like at some point, you know what I mean? Like you maybe you don't start with a plan, but then along the way you've developed one.
Eventually, you will need a plan.
Eventually you have to have a plan. I'm not saying it's impossible to start without a plan. No.
Initially, just start is the advice, isn't it?
Yes. Mm. It is definitely fine to start without a plan. That's not an issue. But the idea success without a plan, I think is impossible.
I've never
met anybody that's had success with this and hasn't developed a plan along the way and stuck to it. And, like, it just winging it week to week, month to month, it just doesn't work.
Mm.
So, and people might say, oh, I did it without a plan, but I guarantee you if we sat down and spoke about what you do, there's a plan in there. Or, whether you've registered the fact that you have a plan or not, it's in there.
Potentially, if you're convinced that you did this without a plan, my argument would be, well, if you had one, you'd have done it a lot faster.
Yeah.
A lot more effectively and be a lot further along.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because often, like, maybe this may be a different podcast topic, but not having a plan leads me straight away to thinking of, like, well, I'd rather know why I fail than not know why I succeed.
Yeah.
As a separate aside. So I know for me, in terms of how this can affect or has affected me in the past and still is a danger to me now that I'm very aware of, I don't suffer from all or nothing in terms of I don't get started, or I certainly don't stop when things get hard. I've definitely proven I can do hard things and I can push through challenging moments and times and whatnot. Where it can bite me in the bum is that it can lead to serious analysis paralysis.
Mm.
And you start to run too many scenarios through your head. And you end up thinking about what if I do this? What if I did that? What if this happens? What if that happens? And then you spend all this time thinking and none of that time doing.
Yes.
That's how it has affected me in the past. I'm actually pretty comfortable saying for the most part, I learned when I was younger just to chip away and do what you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that has worked well for me all the way through, but I can still be guilty sometimes of just analysis paralysis. And I'm overthinking the issue and I won't take action until I've thought everything through. And you can't think of every possible outcome of an action you take.
I agree.
You can't. You can prepare as best as you can, but sooner or later, something will come up you weren't prepared for.
100%. You can't plan for every scenario that's going to happen because things just are completely out of your control sometimes. And I'm still aware. I think back when I first started trying to get my weight under control, it was very much a all or nothing, more so my examples, and that's probably why my definition of all or nothing came from where it did, because that's probably what I dealt with more so. So it wasn't as much of I wouldn't start until X things happened.
Yeah.
You know, you had the odd time where you'd be like, oh, we'll start on Monday, but I don't really put that in the all or nothing category.
No.
I think for me, my experiences were more around I've started and then things stop. So whether it's because what I'm doing is unsustainable, so I didn't think it through before I started doing something.
Too hard too soon.
Too hard too soon, okay. Or just too much restriction. Mm-hmm. Like I can't stick to this.
Mm-hmm.
Not seeing results fast enough. So my expectations are off.
Thank you.
Definitely was up there as well. No plan. So I've gone into it with absolutely no plan.
Just winging
it. And then it's just sort of fizzled out because, again, nothing's happening.
No structure.
No structure. Expectations are off.
Now, that does affect your decision-making, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because then that example you give, that then deprives you of building consistency and building new phrase coming in, stick-to-itness.
Yeah, and I actually think I know we're like I don't know if we can jump to tips for a second because I think that would be
that podcast everyone
because I'll forget. So jumping quickly to tips, that is one that I would strongly recommend for tips is if you are like me and you have a history of starting and stopping things because of one reason or another, structure and expectations are probably my two biggest tips on that one.
Mm-hmm.
So I've spoken a lot about expectations. I won't get into that too much. But I think structure is a big one because you think about it and you think about when things come up that are obstacles in your life, the thing you have to rely back on, to fall back on, is your structure.
Mm-hmm.
Is your structure and your plan, because you don't have to think too hard on it, how to get myself out of here, because you have a plan and a structure to fall back on. And yeah, maybe you made some mistakes and you missed some gym sessions or you missed a meal prep day or, you know, you had a few off days or a week or whatever, but you still have that plan to fall back on.
Mm.
It's mindless, right, at that point. You don't have to think, how do I get myself out of this? You just rely on the structure that you set for yourself, the structure and the plan.
Now, you just said you didn't want to mention it again, but I'm going to have to go there.
Yeah.
What would the tip be for someone who has unrealistic expectations? How does one overcome that when you're...
I think recognizing the first tip is recognizing that your expectations are off.
You
have to understand if you are stuck in this cycle of starting something and not finishing it, you have to be able to pause and take a minute to ask yourself why and really be honest with yourself as to why. Was the program that you chose wrong for you? Like, was it too restrictive or whatever it was? Was it that you went into it feeling like you were going to get something out of it quicker than you did? Like, you have to actually look, we have to look at our mistakes and actually see, like, okay, what, as you say, what can I learn from this? What can I take from this personally? Like, was it the, like, what contributed to this happening? And usually there's a part of ourselves that contribute to everything happening, right?
Once you look internally,
so
yes.
We have to actually be able to be honest with ourselves and look at what's happened and really ask yourself that hard-hitting question. Were my expectations on point for this or were they off? And if the answer is, I feel like my expectations were off, then you ask yourself, what about your expectations were off? Were your expectations about the program you were doing were off? Were your expectations about
timeline,
the time you could invest in that? So were you was your structure about going to the gym 6 days a week a little bit overzealous?
When you haven't proven you can go twice.
Because I can't be there 6 days a week. And it's not realistic for me to go to the gym 6 days a week. So I think you have to then look at what part of it were my expectations off. But I think recognizing that your expectations were off, then I would ask myself what part of my expectations were off.
Mm.
And I think that is a skill worth developing, especially now if you're listening to this and you think,
or watching,
I haven't, like, you're not in the all or nothing phase. But this is a skill that I would start to develop now, which is having a bit of self-reflection and asking yourself where your expectations are at. Do it now. get in the habit of doing it now. Practice it. I honestly you think do? It's a skill. Yeah, I do it all the time because I still have phases in my life, even now, where I will start to be very self-critical. And then I'm able to take a step back and be like, why? And it's usually because I've got higher expectations on myself in that moment than need to be. And I think that it's a skill worth developing now, regardless if you feel like you need to or not, because in the future you will need to.
Question.
Yeah.
Is there merit if you suspect maybe your expectations are off? Is there merit in talking to someone who has done what you want to do and getting objective feedback on things? Because it can be hard, especially when you're new to it, to objectively look at your own situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there merit in talking to someone, friend, colleague, a professional, whatever, who's done what you want to do and saying like, hey, this is what's happening. Like, am I off with this?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I know for me, with the way I like to work, I like to have people that are at a higher level than me as a sounding board.
Yeah, and I think it just depends what you need. Like, again, mm-hmm. I think this is where we really need to start getting in touch with our emotional and mental health, right, and what we need, because everyone's different.
Yes.
Right? So I will internalize a lot of those conversations, and probably only when I really feel like I'm not getting somewhere, then I will ask.
Okay.
Whereas it's more so for you, that would be like your more go-to is to ask someone who you know has done it and been successful at it, and I'm just going to ask them.
Mm.
So I'm not saying either one of our approaches is wrong, but we approach it differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that necessarily I'm going to say that one approach is better than the other. You just need to, again, do some work on yourself and figure out what is going to be best for you. So don't be afraid to ask for help. Never be afraid to ask for help. Because I think even if you're someone who internalizes stuff, you're eventually going to get stuck
yep.
to the point where you're going to have to ask. So I'm the same. Sometimes I do need that person to just talk out loud to. But before I get to that stage, I've done a lot of that talking in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I've had conversations with myself. But not everyone's like that, right? It just depends what you need. But I would definitely recommend 100%. If you don't 100% know where you want to go in terms of your expectations or what is a solid expectation for yourself.
Or if you don't feel confident in being able to see your own blind spots.
Yeah. Whether you keep coming up with the same problems and you have tried to sort through it and you still can't, 100% ask. Ask.
Yeah.
And to me, I wouldn't wait because, as we say, you're just wasting time at that point. Like if you're someone like me that likes to try to figure it out yourself first, that's fine. But if you are coming up with the same brick wall at the end, ask.
Okay.
I would 100% ask. But, yeah, one of my tips would definitely be, just to recap that, is look at your expectations and see where they're at. But also make sure you have some sort of plan and structure to fall back on, because every time something comes up within your journey and you go off track, coming back to the basics, as we've always spoken about in the past, come back to the basics.
Gotta love the basics.
And your basics are the simplest, which is have a plan, have a structure for yourself, make sure it's achievable. When it cut both for both gym and for food and nutrition, and just go back to the basics.
And managing things like stress.
Yeah, and sleep. Yeah, like real basic stuff, right? So get to the gym the minimum amount of times that you need to in that week, because it will make you feel better and it'll make you achieve something.
Well, it's a known mental health intervention besides the physical
right?
benefits.
Make sure you get food that is going to be beneficial for you in the house. Control. Take out food.
Oh, that's where you talk about the word environment comes up, like control your environment. Yes.
Take out food from your house that you know will not help you, and when you're in a bad place, you know you're going to eat mindlessly. Take it out of your house. Make sure you've got nutritional food.
What if you live with people who want their food in the house?
Set boundaries. I did this. I started working out. Like, I started to get my health under control seriously when I was still living with my parents and my younger siblings in the house. So, of course, there was food in the house that I wouldn't be able to eat.
What sort of foods?
lollies, junk food, like lollies, chips, sweets. Chocolate, sweets, like everything. My family has always been a sweet tooth, so there's always sweets in the house. Set boundaries for yourself and find where you need to be. Control your sleep. Try to control your stress. Those are the basics when we talk about reverting back to them.
Even if that sounds like a lot, pick one or two of those things and start there.
Literally. And that's where sometimes, like, in those situations, when I say, like, get back into the gym for the bare minimum amount of time.
I always like to tell people, like, just prove to yourself you can go to the gym twice a week consistently and then go from there.
Yeah.
Because I've seen people get absolutely kick-ass results going to the gym twice a week.
You don't have to go back into your plan for where you fell off, but you just have to get back into the plan. And usually getting back to the – stripping it back to the bare basics, it doesn't take you long to get back to where you were. But because you have that plan and that structure, you know at least something that you can do, right?
It is like a North Star, having a plan. Like, this is where I got to get back to. Yeah.
It's just something to fall back. You don't have to think to yourself today, okay, if I go to the gym, what would I do? Should I go to the gym? How long would it take me to be there, you know, things like that. It's like you don't need to think. You take the extra thinking out of it because you're just going to revert back to the plan that you have.
Any other either personal or professional examples you would like to share?
I think for me, those ones are in. The other one that I will just touch on, which hasn't really happened for me, but I know like it's happened to a lot of clients, which is injury. We've spoken a lot about obstacles in life that come up, but not – and obviously an injury comes into that, but more specifically, if we want to talk about a specific obstacle, injuries often happen in life, whether it be no fault of your own.
It's a risk of being active.
It's a risk of being active. Yeah. It happens. And I know that in the past we've seen it. I've seen a lot with clients where this is where that all or nothing mentality can come
100%.
In. And I understand the mentality behind it because it can be so devastating, especially if you're someone who has got to a place where you're only like you're starting to see progress and then you feel like.
And you've got momentum.
And you've got momentum and things are rolling and you've got your plan and your structure going.
And you've got a routine.
And you've got a routine and it's all sort of clicking.
Yeah.
And then you get injured. It can be so mentally.
It's a mindfuck.
Crushing.
Mm.
And I get that and I've seen it happen a lot. And some people get a new injury or some people will have a flare up of an old injury or, you know, something will happen.
It's life, shit can happen.
Stuff happens, right? We've seen it happen so many times and like, you're a prime example, right? Like you're an active person. You ruptured your bicep tendon, not at the gym. You did it at karate.
Mm.
So because you're an active person, you like to be active, you're not just going to the gym, you also do karate. Mm. So a lot of people do that. As soon as they start to feel better about themselves, they might take up other sports, they might do different things. You know,
you've got a new body, go and use it.
I've had clients that have started to ride bikes with their kids on the weekends, things like that. Mm. I had a client that fell off her bike one time, you know, and hurt her knee. So it's just things like that. It's not necessarily you're going to hurt yourself because you're in the gym. Often I found that most people end up hurting themselves outside of the gym.
I got all my gym injuries out of the way early when I was young and silly.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was doing. These days I'm hyper mindful of that.
So I find most of that comes from the stuff that everyone's doing outside of the gym generally. I find if you're going to look at it from a percentage point of view, which is understandable because, as you say, you start to feel better about yourself. You start to just become a bit more active.
You do things that you always wanted to do but never had the courage to do it or the confidence to do it.
So you know what? Injuries happen. Flare-ups happen.
Right.
But it can be mentally crippling for you to go through that. And I've seen so many clients go through an all-or-nothing approach with injury.
Yes, agreed.
It is by far one of the biggest obstacles that come up that I've seen.
What have you seen happen with other specifically? People.
Mostly it is when there's a flare-up of an injury or a new injury.
Yep.
It usually comes at the worst times, always. It's like Murphy's Law.
To be fair.
Anytime.
There's
the
never
worst time.
A good time to get an injury.
So I tend to find that it's either going to happen really early days.
Mm.
So you're in that honeymoon phase still, like you are raring to go. You haven't started seeing results yet, but you're implementing new structure, you're learning a new routine, you know, and it's all still like
exciting
because you're doing something and you're really into it.
Yeah.
And your mindset and your motivation is going to be as high as it's going to be.
Mm.
Right. And then bang, injury. And that can be really crippling.
Mm.
The other time that I see it a lot is when the other way, when somebody's really like a good chunk away into their journey, they've got the structure nailed, they've been seeing results and they're starting to see more results to the point where, you know, other people are starting to notice, things are starting to change. And also
they're locked into their routine.
They're locked into their routine and it's almost like second nature.
Then it gets fucked with.
Bang, injury. I can't have my normal routine. And then, like, so both are absolutely crippling for two reasons, because your structure often gets shot to shit.
Mm.
Your mindset also goes with it because you're starting to second guess everything. You start to second guess your body and its capabilities to do what you want it to do.
Yep.
You start to second guess your mental ability to be able to deal with this. You start to second guess timeframes, right? Because then we start to, our brain will play tricks on us straight away. This will set me back so far. Yeah. And we go straight, even though we've got clear expectations, all of that goes out the window when we have an obstacle like this come up and we start to panic, right? Our brains start to panic. This is going to set me back. This is going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
How am I going to deal with this? I'm not going to make any gains. I'm going to go backwards. I'm going to go backwards. So I'm going to lose even more time because I'm going to go backwards. There's going to be nothing I can do. And then you mix that with then the emotional and the mental hurdle of my body's let me down. My body's betrayed me in this.
Mm.
And any sort of hope of like forward progression and momentum in terms of mindset that you have comes to a screeching halt. And that is a really big problem. And it's a really big one to deal with, but it's obviously we need to back to the title of this episode. We can't have an all or nothing approach with that. You can't allow your mind to trick you into thinking that it's over and it's done.
What did you notice about how I approached it when I did tear my bicep?
I think it was basically, if I remember correctly, and you can obviously, I don't know why you're asking me this
sharing the example.
I would say that the thing that sticks out the most in my mind was that you saw it as a new challenge.
Fucking oath.
I think trying to, if I would give any advice in that situation, but I mean, you're probably better at giving the advice because you went through it. I have never had a major, touch wood, I've never had a major injury that has really kept me sidelined.
Mm-hmm.
I've had little things like tweaked backs or, you know, wry necks and things like that where I've had to modify my exercise program. Obviously going through IVF treatment as well, I've modified my program
definitely a lot
during that
time. Definitely, yep.
When I was pregnant, I modified my program. So I've done modified programs, but I've never really had a serious injury where I've had to take more than, you know, a couple of weeks. I've had small surgeries and things like that. But I've, again, you're talking about
endometriosis.
Yeah. So I've had a couple of laparoscopies, so I've had to take a couple of weeks off. But anyway, I've never had big, big rehabs in terms of an injury to go through. So you would be probably better to explain this. But my advice would be, correct me if I'm wrong, is to try to change your mindset straight away in terms of this has happened to me. And this is automatically like the end of everything. So try to change your mindset straight away to this has happened to me and this is an unexpected challenge that I get to undertake.
So I got that injury well into my exercise career, you might say.
Yeah.
So the routine's in place, everything's in place. I looked at it as in a couple of different ways. One, how can I absolutely kick this rehab's ass and be back faster than even the surgeon told me? Two, what can I still do?
Yeah.
I will do that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, since I tore my bicep, I guess bicep curls are out for a while. No problem at all.
Upper body's out, but I've still got legs.
I've still got legs. I can still walk. I can still do things with my body. The focus has to be, what can I do?
Yeah.
That's how, like, I was very pleased with how I approached that, because there was no all or nothing mentality there. It's like, well, okay, this is a tough situation. I'm going to smoke this rehab and do very, very well. And I did. They said to me, was it 9 to 12 months?
Yeah.
And I was cleared out in 11 weeks.
Mm.
If you recall.
Yes. I think you approached it definitely like a new challenge. Like, if
it was a new challenge, but the approach was also, what can I do?
Mm.
I will do that.
Yeah. So you basically, again, you defaulted back to your structure that you already had. It was just, how do I modify this to suit where I'm at right now? So it's not like I am doing nothing. And I think that's what our brains often, whenever we come to these sort of hurdles in our journey, our brains will often want to shut down and convince us that that's it, it's over. Yes. And we have to not let that happen. And as you said, try to reframe it as a challenge. You reframed it as a challenge really well, because not only you reverted back to your structure to say, okay, well, I'm going to keep my same, like, obviously post-surgery you took some time off, but as soon as you were able to and you felt fit to, you reverted back to your same structure. It was just modified, right?
I don't know if you remember this. I was back in the gym like 2 or 3 days after the operation.
Yeah, I think it was the end of the week.
Now, remember, you know how we always like to make the joke that you go to the gym and every day is chest day, bro? For me, every day actually was fucking leg day.
Every day was leg day. But you obviously tried to get your structure back ASAP, just modified. And then once that was back, you tried to look at everything with a bit of a challenge, right? And it's obviously works for you as well, works for your personality, because sure you're the sort of person that enjoys being challenged like that. So it obviously works.
Well, with challenge comes improvement. So I enjoy the improvement more than the challenge, you might say.
So I think you also have to reframe it from what's going to work best for you. And for you, Matt, it was very much the doctors said that I'm going to recover in this time. Well, watch me. And I'm going to see how well I can do with my rehab,
but also,
to get this down.
You brought up a good point where, when you have a routine that's established, it is a real head fuck to screw with that routine.
Yeah.
And
especially because you work your ass off to get the routine in the first place.
I completely agree. And the goal for me during that bicep tear rehab was, how can I keep my routine? I still will be doing things at the same time I always did. It's just that the things I would do would be a little bit different for the most part, until things started to improve.
Yeah.
You know, but that's where that's a good example for me personally. It's just the find a way mentality.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Like, sometimes life sucks, it's unfair, shit happens. It's a challenge.
Yeah.
What can I do to find a way to keep pushing forward? Because even if something like, touch wood, not that this is necessarily a wooden table, but I'm touching it anyway, if I copped some
a bit of wood in there.
If I copped some big ass injury again at my martial arts training, I'd approach it the exact same way. What can I do? I'll do that.
Mm.
What's in my control?
Yeah. Here.
The biggest tip, if we're going to tips.
Yeah, we're in tips, yeah.
Biggest tip I would give is control the controllables. When it comes to like an all or nothing mentality, it's all or nothing mentality is not compatible with long-term success and growth and development and improvement. These two things don't fucking mix. They're not friends.
Correct.
Right? The find a way mentality, the control the controllables approach, is really good friends with success, development, improvement, growth, skills.
Yes.
Find a way, control the controllables, and just keep fucking going.
Yes.
Which, I mean, that might be like the ultimate tip of this entire podcast history, is just keep going in it.
Yeah.
You mentioned a tip about expectations, which was great, where, like, check your expectations.
Check your expectations.
Be it, check it internally and don't be afraid to check it externally if you need sounding boards.
And work on it now. Like, don't wait for there to be a problem to start working on your expectations.
That's a phrase, prevention beats cure.
Like, start to get in touch with how you're mentally feeling about this sort of stuff and your outcomes and your structure and your expectations now, because it is going to come up at some point.
It's inevitable.
So try to start working on that now, because, as I said, I'm how many years in and I still have moments where I'm very self-critical and nothing necessarily has happened in my life.
Yep.
I just fall into a mindset of being very self-critical. So that is also an obstacle, right? There doesn't have to be some external factor that happens. You could just mentally be having a time where you're feeling exceptionally vulnerable or very self-critical, and your default is going to be to try to get you into the old bad habits that you had. And you need to then be able to develop that skill of having a look inward and to think about what is happening.
Well, I would give the tip, because this has been a great discussion, because we're coming at the same problem from two different angles, which I love. You know, for me, when we talk about analysis paralysis, which has been my sort of pathway to an all or nothing approach, is just fucking start.
Yeah.
Just start somewhere and just go.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you spend more time thinking and less time doing.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say the thinking is not important, but doing is what takes you places.
Yes.
You know, so just start. Don't think too long.
No.
Like, there's a phrase that we use on our social media platform that I love. And it's like, 20 minutes of doing something is better than 2 days of thinking about doing something.
Yeah, man, it's good. That is good.
So I would just say just start. Control the controllables. But also, you talk about the word reflection, like, be honest with yourself. Are you repeating, is this Groundhog Day? Are you repeating the same shit over and over again?
Yeah.
If you are, like, look in the mirror. Like, you are now the problem.
At that point, you really have to start to think about why you're doing it, because it obviously isn't happening for you. Like, you've got to really have some good, hard truths with yourself at that point. Like, why are you wasting your time doing this?
Well, worse than that, I wouldn't say so much wasting your time. I would say, why aren't you learning what is clearly there to be learned?
But that's why I'm saying you're wasting your time, because you're not putting any effort into actually learning from what this is happening.
Yep.
So keep on trying things isn't wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
But keeping on trying things with absolutely no idea of why you're getting the same outcome.
Or if you're doing the same shit, yes.
It's absolutely wasting your time.
Okay.
And the last one I would personally say is, you've got to embrace sometimes that mistakes are going to happen. Like, you have to embrace the fact that you are going to make mistakes. You're going to have to embrace the fact that mentally you're not always going to be checked in on what you're doing. And so you might let some old habits come in. You might let some toxic critical thinking of yourself come in. You might let... you just might let things slip as well. You might have a week where you didn't get to the gym and you weren't on top of your game. You might have a week where your eating habits are bad.
You know what, also, it may not even be that. It may just be that not every week has to be a week where you set PBs.
Yeah, literally. It just might not be an amazing week.
Sometimes a successful week could just be to maintain the standard.
Yeah, yeah. Your brain is always going to play tricks on you, thinking it's almost sometimes like our emotional brain wants us to fail, to say, like, hey, I told you so. So it's almost sometimes like I feel like my brain is working against me half the time and I need to keep reminding myself that no, I'm good. This is good. Like, we're in the right direction. And
Is that like the meme that gets around with the house is on fire? It's like, this is fine. Everything's fine.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why, but it's like my brain wants the house to be on fire. And I don't always understand why, but it is there. And we have to sometimes be like mindful that, shit's going to go wrong and it's going to be okay. And you don't need to throw everything out because that happened. Like, if you are comfortable with the plan you're on, the structure you're on, the routine you've set for yourself, if you're comfortable with all of that, trust the process and go back to it. It doesn't mean that you have to throw the whole thing out and start something new just because of one little mistake or like one bad period of time.
Can I offer one more tip before we get out of here?
Yeah.
Most people, I tend to find, at least in my experience, they know if they have this approach in some form.
Yeah.
They know.
Yeah, they
do. There is a level of honesty there. I would say if you know this is you, like, look inward. Has this really helped?
Yeah.
How much closer are you to where you want to be having dragged this fucking stone behind you for so long?
Not only that, like, I just think this flows onto so many other things. Like, not like, it's a great point. Like, how much closer are you to actually getting what you want? But I would also take it a step further and say, how much closer are you to being the best person you can be?
The best version of you?
Because this seeps into so many other things in your life. I guarantee if this is you and you are sure that you do this over and over and over again, and we're not just talking about once or twice while we're learning. Like, I'm talking about you are a serial
offender.
If you are honest, just take a step back and actually look at your relationships with your closest people. And I would actually ask, like, your closest people how much confidence they have in you, because I guarantee you if they were honest, it's not much.
Whoa. That's tough.
Like, sorry, but...
Sorry, not sorry?
Honestly, do you disagree? Like, if you are a serial offender...
I'm taking this in.
Like, in all honesty, if my closest people, like if you, Matt, you are obviously my closest person, right? If you had this mentality and you were a serial all or nothing person... Constantly. And I'm talking, like, when I say serial, I mean, like, constantly, because you were 100% right earlier in this episode, Matt, when you said you're always, some people are going to do this while they're learning and that's fine, but you have to learn from it. So I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about.
We're married for 10 years. I'm still doing this shit.
You're still doing this.
Oh.
And deep down, you know, you do this. If you are. I don't have a lot of confidence in you and your decision making.
To be fair, I actually do agree, because then it becomes a case of, like, well, you've got to just show it.
I just don't have
to show it.
But I just think it filters into so many things. I personally then don't have a lot of confidence in any of your decision making, because I think, well, what else are you not going to do?
This is probably going to step on the toes of the relationship podcast. Is that divorce material?
I don't know. That I couldn't answer. That's okay. A personal preference. It depends on how much it bothers you and it's affecting your
relationship. I mean, for you, not for someone else.
For me, it would be a big problem.
Okay.
Yeah. For me personally, it would be a big problem, because I value trust so high in a relationship, and trust and communication and confidence in your partner. And if I don't have that confidence, then I don't know what else I'd be looking for.
What are we doing here?
Yeah. It would be hard to know for sure. I'd have to actually be with a person that was like that.
Good news, you're not.
But anyway, let's put it this way. I don't think I wouldn't have married someone who showed those traits to begin with, because personally, confidence in a partnership is something that is attractive to me in a partnership. And if I didn't have that from the beginning, then that's a big problem for me.
That's deep, man.
But, like, anyway, I won't get too far into it from that, but I just think if you are a serial all-or-nothing person, you have to have a hard look at not only yourself, but I guarantee it's affecting the closest relationships around you.
Wow.
And it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary.
Have you seen this happen?
No, I don't think that I would have ever seen closely enough someone who's that serial of an all or nothing person. It's probably a reason why, because they wouldn't be in my inner circle.
What is it that makes you so sure that's happening?
That there would be people like that?
Yeah.
And how it would affect their relationships?
Mm-hmm.
Because I just think that all I'm doing is obviously basing it off my own opinion. Because I'm just thinking that if I had someone like that in my inner circle, I wouldn't go to them for advice.
Oh, so okay, that makes sense.
If they were in my inner circle, like if I was a support system for someone like that, I would have no confidence that they would ever achieve it.
Until they show it.
Well, at that point, you know, you've passed the learning stage and you haven't learned. So at that point, why am I here as your support person? Why am I in here?
I love this so much.
You're not listening. You know, if I'm giving advice to someone or if I'm being there to support you and you're not improving, why am I here?
You're wasting your time, you're wasting my time. Is that what it is?
Yeah. And I wouldn't, if that person was in my inner circle, I still wouldn't give up on them. It's not like I would give up on them, but all I'm saying is that confidence and trust would be eroded over time.
Okay.
And I think that you've got to be really careful with, especially when we talk so much about how important support systems are.
Yes.
Like, it's a two-way street.
You can burn your support network, can't you?
It's a two-way street.
Mm.
You know, if you're expecting people to be there to support you, then you have to give something back to them, and that is confidence and trust.
Yeah.
And if you erode that by constantly either starting and stopping things, or not starting something that you're putting out there that you want and you need support for, or you're asking me for support you through something and then you get halfway through and at the first sign of trouble you're quitting, and you do that over and over and over and over again.
Mm. I can't top that. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
Well said. Well done. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you for listening and maybe watching.
Also, can I just have a quick disclaimer at the end there? That whole little spiel that I just went on a bit of a rant about makes me – I don't want people to think that I'm trying to be, like, perfect here, because I have a lot of shit that I also deal with that isn't great either. It's just this particular one, I'm just saying, like, probably the thing that I'm passionate about with these sort of topics is, like, they're so changeable. I'm not saying they're easy to change, but they're so changeable, and it can help you in your life so much, not just with your health and fitness goals and your body image goals, but just in your life. That's why I get so passionate about these sort of ones. They could help people to work on themselves and just do it, because even though this particular one I'm not dealing with, I have other mental health and emotional battles that I'm working on being better at, for the sake of our marriage, for the sake of my family, for the sake of everyone close to me. And I just look at things like this and I just get so passionate about it, because I think, oh my God, if you are in this, it's so changeable. It's not easy, but it's so changeable and it could make such a huge difference. And I want that so badly for people. And that's why I get passionate about topics like this.
I love this.
So it's not me being like, I'm perfect and you just need to be like me at all.
Never came across that way. No.
I know that I struggle with other things too, and I work so hard on helping myself with those. And I see something like this and I feel like it's in that sort of category.
Mm.
And I just wish that people could see the benefit of working on something like this.
There's nothing about you putting yourself on a pedestal. He's just, you're passionate about this.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you.
No problem.
Let's get out of here.
Yes, it's definitely enough from me.
Hopefully this has been of some help, whether you're listening or watching.
Yeah.
Facebook group. Yeah, sure. You just keep.
Sorry, I need to drink water.
Keep sipping
wrap
away.
Wrap it up, Matt.
So if you aren't in our Facebook group, I would have to ask you, what are you doing with your life? So go to facebook.com and search up The Weight Loss Podcast, and you'll see a Facebook group funnily called that.
Yeah.
Come and hang out with us and other listeners of the show and other like-minded people, more importantly.
Yes.
Support, tips, inspiration, kick-ass recipes. Like, we've got everything in there except we don't make a coffee for you. Other than that, we do a lot of things.
We're closing this.
We are closing this, yes. We love feedback. Please feel free to email us. podcast@theweightlosspodcast.com is where you can email us. And that's it.
That's it.
Let's get the hell out of here. So thank you for hanging out with us. Hope this has been of some help and value. If so, please let us know. If not, hey, please let us know. See you next time.
Bye.
Are you ready to share your success? Head over to our website for full access to our show notes, resources based on today's topic, and links to our Facebook group so you can share your story with our hosts and many others out there who are looking to achieve and maintain their health and fitness goals. You can find all that and more exclusively at theweightlosspodcast.com.